This morning, I want to start by asking you a question, and I want you to think about it with some seriousness. It sounds like a silly question, but I want you to be honest with yourself. And the question would be, what makes you happy? Or what do you need to be happy? What is something that could happen to you today that would give you those feelings that, you know, when something good happens, you know, and your brain releases these chemicals and it just gives you a good feeling, and we would describe that feeling as just being a happy feeling. What could happen to you today? Now, I know that everybody would, you know, want to give a church answer and all, but be honest with yourselves. What could happen to you today that would just make you just beside yourself, tickled and happy? You know, would it be you get home and you find out that somebody has paid off all your debt? I'm sure that that would release some of those chemicals. Would it be that, you know, I mean, and again, be honest with yourself. If you get home today and there's somebody standing in your driveway and they were to say to you, hey, guess what? I just wanted to remind you, you're saved by grace. Would that release the same thing as if they said, hey, well, all your debt's been paid, you are debt free? Be honest now. I mean, we're just human. Would it be that you find out that you had a relative that passed away that you'd never even heard of, and they left you millions on top of millions of dollars? Would it be that, you know, there's a new car in your driveway? Would it be that you got your dream job? Just think of all the things that could happen to you today that you would just say, this is great. You know, maybe some of you are leaving after church today to go on vacation. You know, if that would make me happy to just think, you know, I'm leaving out here after church today. I'm going to go for 5 or 6 days and just be wherever and whatever place, you know, that I like to be. All of those things, you know, release those chemicals that give us that good feeling. And I could stand up here and give you 1,000 more, or we could parade through here and everybody come up to the microphone and name one or two things. Some of those things would overlap. Some of them would be unique to you, but we've all got those things. So be honest with yourself. What is something that could happen today that would make you just say, that just makes me so happy? I went through the Bible here, and before I get to the Bible, there's a worldly view of what would make you happy. And most every commercial is geared towards that. Most every billboard or advertisement that you would see is geared towards making those, you think about these certain things and it releases those chemicals. It gives you, you know, a good feeling. You know, I can flip through a Bass Pro Shop catalog and I'm looking at this and looking at that. And the next thing you know, I'm kind of daydreaming about what if I had that and what I had this. And I start to get all excited about it and think, you know what? I think I need to buy that. Why? Because I'm in pursuit of that emotional high that we would call happiness. And so there's a worldly view of that. The world is going to say possessions, financial freedoms, plenty of friends. The world's going to tell you that, you know, promiscuous behavior is where happiness is. The world's going to tell you that, you know, having a ton of friends and you know, the dream jobs and, vacation homes. There's a worldly idea of happiness. But I would warn you about that, because the Lord gives us a man in the Bible named Solomon that basically had everything you could want. And there's an entire book of the Bible dedicated to his ideas and his thoughts that are generated after he has it all. And if you read through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon does not say, you know, oh, you know, lands were kind of, you know, just having all the land was just vanity of vanities. But if you get a really nice castle, that's where he doesn't say any of that. He never gives you something like, if you just obtain this. He basically says, I have had it all, I've done it all, and I still feel empty. So Solomon kind of puts to bed the idea of worldly possessions and following the world's path to happiness. He kind of puts to bed that that's a true statement. Now, The Bible talks about, as I studied through here, the Bible gives several different things. I can't remember. I want to say I wrote them all down. There were six or seven of them. I'm almost going to look at one today. There were six or seven of them that God's Word tells us this is the path to happiness. This can happen in your life and will generate those feelings for you. Now, it's funny that we're so corrupt in the way we think that it's hard to imagine, even when you read through some of these things, you're like, really? That's what's like, is that a misprint in the Word of God? Like, that's going to make me happy? Because it sure doesn't seem like that's going to make me happy. That's because we've got this huge, sinful, corrupt filter. And when the Word of God starts to pour into our lives, that wicked, corrupt mind has a way of filtering that, the things that are true and just leave us with things that are not true. But in the book of Job, I want to look at one thing that the Lord says will make us happy. And it's very peculiar to me. And you can look in Job, the fifth chapter, in verse 17. Job, the fifth chapter, in verse 17. And it says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Now think about that for just a second. Happy is the man that God correcteth. Generally speaking, we do not like to be corrected. I like to stand in front of somebody in conversation and start rolling off my ideas and my thoughts, and everybody, and they say, "You're right. You're right. You're right. Yes, that's clear. You're right." I do not like to stand in front of somebody in conversation, and they say, "Well, now wait a minute. I think you're thinking about that wrong." You're like, "What?" That feeling of being corrected doesn't generate happiness in me. Does it you? If you're talking to somebody and they're constantly correcting you back on a straighter, more true way of thinking, do you like that? No, it makes our bristles get up and like, I don't really like talking to them because they don't mind correcting me. And you can see here in verse 17 that correcting and chastening, they go hand in hand. Now, I don't remember as a child ever realizing that, I can remember one time, I preached an entire sermon on this, one time. And it was about the time that Josh and I were kids. And where we lived at the time, there was this field out there, and there were always, we called them maypops. I don't know what other people, we called them maypops. And they're this just green, about half the size of a tennis ball, and it's some kind of something or another. But they're great to pick and throw. And one day, me and Josh are out there, and my dad, he looked, I guess he could just read my face, and he saw me staring at one of those vines and looking over at Josh and looking back at the vine. And he said, I never said anything, he said, "Do not throw one of those at your brother." And I just felt like it had to be done. And so I went over and I picked a maypop, and I busted him right in the head. And my dad said, very calmly, he said, "Okay, before I leave for work today, I'm going to spank you." He was going to correct me and chasten me. And that was in the morning. I want to say he left for work about 2 o'clock that afternoon. That was the longest day ever. And at no point between the Maypop incident and him leaving for work did I feel happy. Did I feel just those feelings of, you know what? I'm fixing to get corrected and I'm fixing to get chastened. I am a happy person. It was dread. I was miserable. And I never threw another one. I learned my lesson. But I was miserable. So how can the Word of God say that happy is the man that God correcteth, therefore don't despise the chastening of the Lord? That makes no sense to the natural mind. None whatsoever. But I believe the Word of God is true, don't you? I believe that it's inspired by God, and every a and or thee that's in it is put there for a reason. And this verse here is not a misprint. It is not supposed to say, behold, unhappy is the man. This is a true biblical statement. So how can we be happy when we're corrected and chastened by God? Because listen, the chastening of God, and you probably have all felt it, and maybe some of you young kids say, what is it? What is the chastening of God? Have you ever felt convicted or guilty over something that you've done that you know was displeasing to God? That is a miserable feeling. It's miserable. That's the chastening of the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God in us convicting us and telling us you are wrong. That goes against my way and my teaching, and I am correcting you, and this guilt that you're feeling is one way. There are many ways, but that's one way that I chasten you. But we look at that just like I looked at my dad when I hit Josh with the Maypop and said, that doesn't make me feel good. That does not make me happy. Well, that's because you're looking at it from a natural perspective. Okay? Now, let me give you just a few reasons and a few reasons why that should make us happy. And maybe when we feel that chastening or correction from the Lord, instead of looking at it from a natural perspective, you can look at it from a spiritual perspective and rejoice in it. Okay? One reason that the correction or chastening of the Lord should make us happy is that because it is a fruit and an evidence of God's love. Amen. Very simply put, it is a fruit and evidence of God's love. And I have told my children since they were old enough to understand me, and my dad told me the same things, that the reason that I discipline you, the reason I correct you, the reason I chasten you is because I love you. And I my mind slips and I can't quote it, but the Bible makes reference to a man that spares the rod hates his son.
That's right.
I think it says, he that spareth the rod hateth his son.
That's right.
Now, I want you to think about that. Does that go along with mainstreams today? Oh my goodness, no. The Word of God says, he that spareth the rod, meaning he that withholds discipline from his children in a strange kind of way, it's withholding love from them. Because the Bible says, he that loveth his son chasteneth him betimes, which means early. It's hard for us to comprehend that chastening and that correction is an expression of love. But I have noticed it with my own children that when the chastening and correction comes, and we'll get to some verses here that say it better than I can say it, the end result of that is a closer fellowship than we had before. And anybody that's ever disciplined their children correctly can wholeheartedly amen that. Now, notice I said correctly. Okay, if you go and you are chastening and correcting in anger and frustration, and you know the child gets a sense of, I'm just in the way and I'm just bothering them, I'm just getting on their nerves, don't expect that to generate happiness at any point. But if you'll flip over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, for just a second, I want to look at a few verses here that just prove the point that I'm trying to make to you. And I want to start reading in verse 5 of Hebrews 12. It says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Notice that. That's kind of following the example that I've been giving you. Speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. What does that tell you? What that tells me is that like I said earlier, the Lord's correction and chastisement is a fruit or an evidence that He loves us. It's a fruit or an evidence. Now again, what does Satan try to convince you of? And you hear this throughout all the, you know, the psychologies of modern day, is that there's no way that a child that is corrected with the rod, there's no way that they're ever going to blossom and feel love. That is what the devil in the world says. But the Lord says, look, if I'm correcting and chastening you, then you need to know that I'm doing that because I love you. The Bible says in Revelations, as many as the Lord loveth, He rebukes and chastens. So when I feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and the chastisement of God, in a worldly sense, no, it does not make me happy. But what does make me happy is the logical conclusion that I come to through the Word of God, that if He didn't love me, He wouldn't be doing it. And if He loves me, chase that down any rabbit hole. If He loves me, then I'm one of His. And if I'm one of His, He bled and died for me. And if He bled and died for me, He rose from the grave for me. And if He rose from the grave for me, I will rise from the grave also and be with Him forever in heaven. All right, you just got to follow it down the spiritual path, not the worldly path. Let me give you another evidence here. Another reason that we can be happy when we're corrected of by the Lord and chastened is because not only is it an evidence that He loves us, it's an evidence that we're part of His family. Notice in verse 7, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Now listen, I'm smart enough to know that I'm not interested in chastening or correcting or disciplining your children. Okay? Even though you say, now you spank my children if you think they need it, I am too smart for that. Okay? That will go south in a hurry. I know it's said in a good sentiment, but no thank you. Now I might go tell on you little children and let your mom and dad deal with it. But I will discipline my children. I will, when they were younger, spank my children. I will give my children those looks that they say that I give. You know, I will do that for my children. And so when my children feel the discipline or the correcting or the chastening that comes from me, while they may not like it, there's a part of them that should rejoice because they say, I belong to Him. Amen. And when we as God's children, when we feel the chastening of the Lord, we should rejoice to say, I am His. Right. If He didn't love me, if He didn't see me or treat me as a son, He would not be correcting me and chastening me. Right. God's chastening is a fruit and evidence that He loves us, that we are His family. And notice again, going down in Hebrews the 12th chapter in verse 11, it says, now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous. Amen, amen, and amen. The chastening that I got from my dad when I threw that at Josh, that time period that I had to wait for that, was not joyous. It was not joyous. But in the end, it yielded something. It brought forth something. And the Bible says that what that brings forth is a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Look, I'm at the point in my life, I'm all about peace. I want peaceable things. I don't want conflict. Now look, we'll go to war standing for the Lord. But just in a general day-to-day, I just want peaceable things. You know, and if there's something in my life that's constantly robbing of me of my peace, I've got to the point I just kind of start drifting away from it. I love peaceable things. Yes. Sometimes to get to the peaceable things, we have to endure the chastening of God. Right. When I disciplined my children, or when I was disciplined by my father, at the present time, There's no truer statement in the Bible that it does not seem to be joyous. But it yielded something in the end that was peaceable. at the end of it all, and I can't fully explain that to you. It's I don't know, it's got so many veins that go through it, but it yielded respect from my parents. And respect from my parents, notice this, folks, respect from my parents kept me out of a lot of trouble. And I was experiencing peaceful days and happy days that if I didn't respect my parents because of the discipline they gave me, I might have been over here doing something I should have and been sitting in jail. Not very happy. In the end, the discipline, the chastisement, and the correction of God, even though it's hard for us to see sometimes, yields a peaceable thing for us. And lastly, sometimes the chastisement and correction of God steers us back onto a path that will keep us out of a world of heartache and sorrow. Now, and I think I may have mentioned this before, I love the concept that's behind the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I love that concept that the guy gets to go back and look at what the world would be like, or the world that he knew, the world he lived in, what it would have been like had he never existed. And that is a fascinating concept to me. We don't get the chance to look at what would my life be like if I went down this road instead of having gone down this road. But I trust, based on the Word of God, that sometimes the correction of God has set me back on a path that saved me from things I will never even know would have or could have happened to me going a different direction. Amen. That makes me happy.
Me too.
Now think about it. Job said, "Happy is the man that the Lord correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Lord." It goes against every worldly, fleshy thing, natural thing that is in our minds. But stop and think about it for a second. No, it may not seem joyful at the moment, but it's an evidence that He loves us. It's an evidence that we're His family. It's a thing that will yield peaceable things to us on down the road and save us from a world of hurt from who knows what. So, young people, when you feel the loving correction and chastisement from your parents, I realize that that is not a fun thing at the moment, but it will bring some happiness to you that far outweighs or exceeds the sorrow that you felt in the moment. Children of God, when you feel that conviction from the Spirit of God, there should be part of you in humility that says, "Lord, I feel crushed under this weight of conviction, but yet I'm happy." Because it is an evidence of all these things that I've talked to you about this morning. I hope that has been profitable to you, and please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.